The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, the 50th chapter. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Word that caused blind eyes to see, speak and heal our mortal blindness. Deaf we are, our healer be. Loose our tongues to tell your kindness. Be our word in pity spoken. Heal the world by sin now broken. Amen. I think when we hear gospel stories or stories from the scriptures like the one that we have today, it might benefit us at times to imagine it as if it were a story that we heard, as if it happened yesterday, as if you turned on the news and what we just heard is what you heard. And if you do that, and if you ask yourself about it that way, I think we would have to say, well, what would we find most ludicrous in the story that we heard about in our gospel reading today? And I take it for granted that we would find it ludicrous, tabloid-like material. But what would we find most absurd? I don't think we would even get as far in the story as the casting out of the unclean spirit, because I think we would check out of the story at the point where the man talks about his child having an unclean spirit. And right there, I think most people would say, okay, the guy is obviously not all there himself. much less his child. I mean, come on. He blames his child's condition on spirits? Give me a break. Now, as Christians, I know that we have to at least give lip service to the notion that demons exist, that they actually do things in the world, even things like possession. And I have no doubt that we believe that Jesus has the power to cast out demons, that he did it many times during the gospel stories. And we get that there were demons back there. But now? Haven't we ruled that kind of thing out? Except for maybe in extremely bizarre and creepy scenarios. And if we think like that, maybe we should take a look at the Gospels and look at what they do in the Scriptures. What are the signs of their activity? In today's reading, this one caused a boy from childhood to convulse, foam at the mouth. It kept him from hearing and speaking properly. It tried to destroy him. The father says that it often throws him into the fire or into a lake or some kind of water to try and kill him. Elsewhere, the Gospels talk about a man who was extremely violent, couldn't be contained, and was hurting himself and was hurting others. The demons drive him out to live in a graveyard. You also hear multiple times about demons interrupting Jesus while he is preaching at the synagogues. It's only short. We see that the demons often torment people, even children. They torment them with things like bodily afflictions. They're violent and destructive towards themselves and towards others. They often affect how people hear and speak. And they always react poorly to Jesus' words and deeds. They do not like being near Jesus, because they all recognize him for who he is, and they recognize that with him, their power comes to an end. And so if you survey that list, are you really so sure that we should rule out demonic activity in our time? Is our culture free of that kind of stuff simply because we have computers, automobiles? Don't we live in a culture where there's violence? A culture where people try to harm or even kill themselves because they find no other way out? A culture where arguments start getting heated when Jesus is mentioned? A culture that does not hear or speak correctly about its problems, about their solution? A culture that tries to find solutions everywhere else but in Jesus Christ? I mean, if we did not live in that kind of culture, then sure, we could probably dismiss this unclean spirit stuff, but I don't think we should be so quick. And I know that the Scriptures say that we can't. Some weeks ago, there was a reading from Ephesians chapter 6 where Paul talks about putting on the armor of God, and he talks that way. He says he talks that way explicitly so that we could stand fast against the spiritual forces of evil. Now notice in our gospel reading, when Jesus is confronted with this scene, Jesus asks, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" When Jesus takes it all in, the boy with the convulsions and the mute spirit, with the disciples' inability to cast out the spirit, the scribes and the father arguing with disciples. When Jesus takes all of it in, he pinpoints the problem as a lack of faith. Jesus sees, too, that there is a spiritual problem at the heart of this scene, and it wasn't just the unclean spirit in the child. Jesus' initial response is to call all of it faithless, all of it unbelieving. Jesus says he was dealing with a faithless generation. Faithless generations have problems like the one that we see in our gospel reading today, including but not limited to the child's problem. And as Jesus says that, as he says elsewhere, he says this while the wood is green. How much more now, years later, when even the experts are telling us things are heating up and drying out? And yet see also that after Jesus diagnoses the problem, he gets to work. And his work has the signature of God all over it, because it looks a lot like killing to make alive. Jesus commands the unclean spirit to come out, and it does so. Not gracefully, but it does so. It shakes, it convulses the boy, and it leaves the child dead. At least that is what the witnesses think and see. But then Jesus takes the boy by the hand. He raises him up. And the boy arose. He stands again. And seeing all of this take place, I'm sure it had to shock and confuse people. How does a faithless generation take that in? One of the things that Jesus talks about with the disciples before this incident, as well as something that he's going to talk with them about next week, immediately after the incident, is that he tells the disciples that he was going to die and then rise again 3 days later. And as you remember, the disciples have issues with this. Before Peter tried to rebuke Jesus over this, we will hear next week that they hear it. They don't understand it, and at that point they're afraid to ask about it. Again, a faithless generation has the kinds of problems that we see in our gospel reading. And since it is a faith problem, it is a problem with Jesus. It is a problem with how he works, especially how he works by dying and rising. But there is no other answer. Jesus will insist. Jesus humbles himself. Oftentimes he grants people their wishes. He goes along in many ways, but he is not going to alter this way of working. And when Jesus speaks to the father of the boy and says that all things are possible for one who believes, the father responds with a short but excellent prayer. I believe. Help my unbelief. It's a great prayer. It's a prayer that God loves to answer. God wants all people to come to the faith. God people wants to help all people with their unbelief. After that, then Jesus does the killing and making alive to help that man's unbelief. One of the problems of living in an unfaithful generation is that we have a hard time listening to God's word. That is why we have a hard time recognizing the things that are going on in the world around us. The scriptures say over and over again that there are spiritual forces at play, even here, 21st century. We try and downplay it. The scriptures over and over talk to us about sin and the depths and the destructiveness of sin. We try and downplay it. And so you see that when we don't hear well, we also don't speak well. But you could ask, if it's not really that bad, then why Jesus dying on the cross? Why Jesus going to that length? If we say that our sins aren't really that big of a deal, the world really isn't in that bad of shape, then you see the corollary to that is you start downplaying Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. But Jesus will not let us. He insists he is going to Jerusalem. There he will be crucified and he will rise 3 days later, and then he will send out these disciples with that message to the ends of the world to help people in their unbelief. The answer is Jesus' words that take us, who were dead in our sins and trespasses, and raises us to new life in Him. Only then can we hear, can we speak, can we see as we should. We should recognize the work of the spiritual forces of evil, but we should also see that Jesus is the answer. He can, He does, He will conquer them and send them away forever. Jesus makes unbelievable things believable. He makes us faithful. And when we hear Him, when we listen to Him, when we see what He has done for us, we have the peace of God, which passes all our understanding. It guards and keeps our hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus forever. Amen.